For decades, a federal statute has flatly forbidden any state to authorize, license, or legalize commercial sports wagering. It regulates no bookmaker, it creates no federal betting scheme, it simply tells the states they may not change their own gambling laws. Then, one state repeals its ban and starts licensing sportsbooks. Congress is not ordering anybody to do anything here, it is only saying no. Is that constitutional? No, because a ban on state lawmaking is still a command to a state legislature, and the form makes no difference. That is the anti-commandeering rule, the sharpest edge of the 10th Amendment. Today, the three ways two governments collide: taxing each other, commanding each other, and contradicting each other. Here's the root. First, intergovernmental immunities. When one government may tax the other, and why that protection runs strongly in one direction and weakly in the other. Then, the 10th Amendment. What commandeering is, and the tools Congress may reach for instead, including spending conditions and their five limits. Then, the star of the show. The Supremacy Clause, and the four routes to preemption. Start with the design. The federal government has only enumerated powers. It acts where the Constitution grants authority. Everything not handed to it is left to the states, which hold the police power. The broad authority to legislate for health, safety, welfare, and morals. Nothing to do with police officers. Two provisions frame every clash. The Supremacy Clause, Article 6, makes the Constitution, federal laws made under it, and treaties the supreme law of the land. And conflicting state law gives way. Note the limiter, made in pursuance of the Constitution. Only a valid federal law is supreme. An unconstitutional one is supreme over nothing. And the 10th Amendment says whatever was not given to the federal government stays with the states. First collision. Two sovereigns share the same ground, and each is tempted to use its power on the other, most obviously through taxation. The origin of the doctrine is one memorable idea. The power to tax is the power to destroy. But the protection is lopsided, and that asymmetry decides most questions. The federal government is strongly shielded from the states. The states are barely shielded from the federal government. Going up, from state against federal, the test is legal incidence. On whom does the law actually place the tax obligation? Three rules follow. No direct taxation, so a state cannot bill a federal agency a property tax on federal land. No discrimination, so a state cannot single out the federal government or its employees and contractors for worse treatment. And non-discriminatory indirect taxes are fine. Watch that third one work. Olympia lays a flat 2% tax on the gross receipts of every business. A firm building satellites for the Air Force pays it and folds the cost into what it charges the government. Valid. The tax lands on the firm and singles out nobody federal. Now tax that firm at 4% while everyone else pays 2%, and immunity strikes it down. The discrimination branch is codified at 4 U.S.C., Section 111. A state may tax a federal worker's income like anyone else's, but not more heavily than comparable state income. Exempting state pensions while fully taxing an equivalent federal pension is unconstitutional. Regulation follows the same logic. A state cannot order an army base to halt operations, however neutral its safety code. Going the other way, be skeptical of the immunity claim. Congress may impose non-discriminatory, generally applicable taxes on the states, especially on commercial activities. A state-owned bottling plant pays a federal excise tax reaching every bottler. The state's real protection is representation in Congress, not a judicial veto. Second collision. Congress has many powers, but it may not commandeer the states. It cannot conscript state governments to do federal work. The reasons are practical. It keeps accountability clear, so voters know which government to blame. And it stops Congress from shifting federal costs onto state budgets. 3. Forbidden commands. Congress cannot order a state legislature to enact a law, so telling a state to pass a statute meeting federal specifications is out, however generous the deadline. Congress cannot order state or local executive officers to administer a federal program, so drafting police chiefs to run federal background checks is out, however modest the burden. And Congress cannot forbid a state from enacting or repealing its own laws, which is our sports betting statute. A prohibition is still a command, and the act versus forbid distinction gets you nowhere. But notice what Congress could have done instead. It could have regulated the sports books directly and preempted contrary state law. That is legislating, not commandeering, and it is entirely valid, because anti-commandeering is a rule about method, not goals. 4 workhorses. Spending conditions, letting each state choose. Direct regulation of private conduct, then preemption. Generally applicable laws binding the states alongside everyone else, so a federal wage and hour law covering all employers is fine. Regulating what a state does is allowed. Forcing a state to regulate others is not. And conditional preemption, where Congress regulates a field itself and offers states the option to administer it under federal standards. One more surprises people. Congress can require state courts to hear federal claims. Anti-commandeering does not reach the judiciary because state judges are bound by the Supremacy Clause. Spending conditions are the main workaround, so learn the 5 limits cold. General welfare, where courts defer heavily. Unambiguous, so the state accepts knowingly. Related to the federal interest in the program funded, which is germaneness. No independent constitutional bar, and not coercive. See the line. Congress offers Franklin $30 million in new highway funds if it sets a drinking age of 21. Valid inducement. Clear, related to highway safety, and Franklin can decline. Now tell Franklin it loses all its existing highway, education, and Medicaid money unless it joins a brand new program. That stops being a genuine choice. A gun to the head, and unconstitutional compulsion. Quick challenge. Congress offers a grant to build public libraries on condition the state lower its rural speed limit to 55 miles per hour. The grant is clearly worded, small enough to refuse, and violates nobody's rights. Which limit does it fail? Germaneness. Libraries and speed limits have nothing to do with each other, so the condition does not relate to the program funded. Not coercion, because the state can walk away. Not ambiguity, because the terms are clear. Third collision, and the star of the show. When valid federal law and state law point different directions, federal law has the right of way and state law is displaced to the extent of the conflict. 2 anchors. The federal law must be valid, passed under an actual enumerated power. And the inquiry turns on congressional intent. Did Congress mean to displace state law? Because states are the historic regulators of health and safety, courts apply a presumption against preemption there. They assume Congress did not wipe out state law unless it made that intent reasonably clear. The presumption fades in fields of dominant federal concern, like immigration. Now the 4 routes. Route 1. Express preemption. The statute's own words displace state law, and the fight is about scope. A clause saying no state may impose any advertising requirement based on smoking and health preempts a state billboard warning, though it never mentions billboards. Express clauses work by category, not by itemized list. But look for a savings clause, a companion provision preserving some category of state law, usually common law damages actions. A federal auto safety statute preempts differing state standards, but a separate clause says compliance does not exempt anyone from common law liability. That rescues the driver's defective design suit. Route 2. Field preemption. The federal scheme is so pervasive, or the federal interest so dominant, that a court infers Congress meant to occupy the entire field. Classic examples are immigration, nuclear power safety, and foreign affairs. And here is the trap. Once a field is occupied, complementary state law falls alongside conflicting state law. A stricter but perfectly compatible reactor safety code is preempted anyway. Third route, conflict by impossibility. You cannot obey both at once because federal law forbids exactly what state law requires. Narrow, and note the two escape routes that do not work. It is no answer that the party could petition the agency for permission. It is no answer that it could leave the market entirely. If it cannot independently satisfy both commands, the state law is preempted. Route 4. Conflict by obstacle. Purposes and objectives. Even when a party could obey both, state law falls if it stands as an obstacle to Congress's full purposes. Congress builds a comprehensive scheme for registering non-citizens and calibrates the penalties to preserve federal discretion. A state adds mandatory jail time. Dual compliance is possible, and the state law is still preempted because it upsets a deliberate federal balance. Quick challenge. A federal statute sets minimum energy efficiency standards for appliances and says plainly, these are a floor. No preemption clause, no occupied field. A state requires appliances sold there to beat the federal minimum. Preempted or not? Not preempted. Where Congress sets only a floor, a state may set a stricter standard, because exceeding a minimum neither conflicts with it nor frustrates it. A manufacturer satisfies both by meeting the higher number. Make it a ceiling or add a bar on differing standards, and the answer flips. Three boundaries. Preemption always needs affirmative federal law. Show me a discriminatory state law and no federal statute, and you are doing the Dormant Commerce Clause. The Supremacy Clause is a rule of priority, not a source of rights, so it does not by itself create a private right to sue. And an agency can preempt by regulation, but only within the authority Congress delegated. A word on authorities. This episode named no cases, and that was deliberate. The source teaches this through rules, and next-gen questions do the same. They hand you a federal statute and a mismatched state law and ask what survives. It cites three things: Article 6, the 10th Amendment, and 4 U.S.C. Section 111. This topic is starred, so nothing gets printed for you. If you keep only three things, keep these. Only valid federal law is supreme, so an unconstitutional statute preempts nothing. Anti-commandeering is about method, not subject, and a prohibition counts as a command. And the preemption ladder in order: express, field, impossibility, obstacle. Name the route. Graders reward that over a vague, it is preempted. Now the traps. Straight from the examiner's favorites. 1. Treating the 10th Amendment as a general states' rights trump card. It mainly bites in one place, anti-commandeering. It will not strike down a valid general federal law that merely reaches a state. 2. Missing commandeering when Congress phrases it as a prohibition. No state may is still a command. 3. Confusing coercion with a hard bargain. Most spending conditions are valid. Only an overwhelming threat to a state's existing funds crosses the line. 4. Assuming any state law that touches a federal subject is preempted. Without an express clause, an occupied field, a real impossibility, or a genuine obstacle, the two live side by side, and a state may go stricter on a federal floor. 5. forgetting legal incidents and discrimination on taxes. A neutral tax that merely passes an economic cost to the federal government is fine. A direct tax on the United States, or a discriminatory one, is not. 6. Reaching for preemption when there is no federal statute. That is a dormant Commerce Clause problem. Time for the quick check. And this one comes straight from the Bargo Question Bank. A federal drug labeling regulation requires a prescription medication to bear one exact, federally approved warning label and forbids the manufacturer from adding or altering any wording. A state then requires that same medication to carry an additional, bright red warning that the drug may cause severe liver damage. The maker cannot print the extra warning without violating federal law, and cannot omit it without violating state law. On what basis is the state requirement most likely preempted? Option 1. Field preemption, because drug labeling is an occupied federal field. Option 2. Conflict preemption, because the manufacturer cannot obey both commands. Option 3. No preemption, because the manufacturer could stop selling the drug and avoid the conflict. Pause here if you want a moment. The answer is option 2, conflict preemption and name the branch. Impossibility. Federal law forbids exactly what state law requires. Option 3 is the trap this branch specifically rejects. A party need not leave the market to escape liability, so the ability to exit does not cure the conflict, and neither would petitioning the agency. Option 1 mislabels the theory. Nothing says the whole field is occupied, and these facts show a direct clash. Name the root, not just the result. There are 30-plus more questions on this topic alone, each with every option explained like that. 5 things to take away. 1. Only valid federal law is supreme. An unconstitutional statute preempts nothing. 2. State tax immunity turns on legal incidents and discrimination, never on where the economic cost lands, and it protects the federal side strongly and the states weakly. 3. Congress may not order a state to legislate or enforce, or forbid it to legislate, but it may regulate directly, condition money, or apply a neutral general law. 4. Spending conditions must be germane, unambiguous, for the general welfare, free of an independent constitutional bar, and not coercive. 5. Run the preemption ladder and name the root, which is why that state gets to license its sports books. Congress had the power to reach sports betting. It just picked the one method the Constitution forbids. Next time, the Dormant Commerce Clause. Practice this topic with more than 2,900 exam-style questions, free to start at nextgenbargo.com. This episode is for education and exam preparation only, not legal advice, and we are not affiliated with or endorsed by the NCBE or any bar examining authority.